Before we get started in the message today, though, many of you were involved or actually took place in the megachurch service that we had on Thursday night. And what I'd like to do, because that was such a great experience for the people that were here, and you know, I'm always proud of this church, but on Thursday night I was extremely proud of this church. Okay? And what I'd like to do is, if you took part in this, if you were a volunteer driving a van, if you actually helped with the food, if you helped with the service, if you did anything by welcoming people when they were here, could you just stand up for us right now? Because I want to just say thank you to all of you who took place in that, okay? You know, and we've been talking about for a while about celebration, right? And trying to celebrate things, little things. And so today, I've got a bunch of cookies that we're going to have on a table out on the outside there. So as you leave today, let's just celebrate a little bit today and say thank you for what you guys have done to make this such a special thing for the people who were here. We do have a couple people that are still here joining us this morning that were here for the conference, and they just raved about how great and how welcome they felt. So I say thank you to you, because that's what our Savior's is, right? So today we're going to jump right into, again, the idea of magnifying the Lord. That was the word that sort of came to me, as I said, at the beginning of this year, that we are here to magnify the Lord. And in 2019, we're going to magnify the Lord so much in this community that it can't help but people know what our Savior's is about, right? And so magnifying the Lord is what we're talking about. And we said that in order to do that we must be the lens through which the world views God. That each of us is the lens through which people will see God in us, right? That's what we mean when we say live the love of Jesus, that as we're living the love of Jesus, people experience who God is, because God is alive in us. And so we're going to try magnifying the Lord, and we said the way we're going to do that is we're going to magnify the Lord, but as we magnify the Lord, that hopefully it'll magnify our Saviors as well, but then it'll magnify the impact that we have in this community. And that's the goal for 2019. That's what we're all about. And we've talked about over the last few weeks that in order to make that happen, that it is going to take sacrifice. It's going to take sacrifice on our part. And that's a word many of us don't like, right? We don't like the idea of sacrifice. But as we've said in previous weeks, we said that he must increase and I must what? Decrease. That I must decrease so that he can increase. And that's the goal of what we're striving for this year. That yes, maybe there are things that we don't exactly like that's going on, but we're going to decrease so that the Lord may increase. Okay? And that's the goal. So today we're going to actually look at what that is and understand more of what it means to sacrifice. You know, I bet you each one of you can look at your lives and decide, what is it in an area that you've had to give sacrifices? You know, I remember when I was in the business world, and many of you know this story, but I'm going to share it with you once again. I was in New York City, and I had the job I had always wanted. 400-something people reporting to me. International sales was all, I mean, it was just everything I had ever wanted, making more money than I ever thought. And one day the CEO who I reported to came to me and asked me, you know what, the numbers in sales aren't exactly where they need to be, and that's your responsibility. And so today, I want you to fire 100 people. And I looked at him and I said, I'm not going to do that. He goes, I've already set up the conference call. All 100 will be on the conference call. You'll be able to speak to them, but they will not be able to speak to you. And it's happening at 10 a.m. And I said, I'm not going to do that. And he said to me, you know what? If you won't do it, then you'll be one of those 100. I remember we had just closed on our house in New Jersey, my wife and I. And I was sitting there going, what the heck am I going to do? And I remember sitting there in my office, which, by the way, looked like this, was the view I had. It was on the 45th floor, three sides of glass, best view you had in New York City. And I remember sitting there after I thought I had everything that I wanted, sitting there thinking to myself these words. how did I get here? How did I get to this place? You know, I regret that day right now because I got on that conference call and I fired 100 people. And to this day, I regret that I did that because the right thing would have been to just say no. Even though I begged with him that I would go around the country and talk with him individually, he said, no, you're going to do that today. And I sat there in my office afterwards, looking at this view and looking at everything around me, and I thought, how did I get here? Why was this what I wanted? I mean, I bet many of you have been in situations like that, where you've sort of scratched your head yourself and said, how did I get here? Maybe it's as simple as the dishes are piled up in the sink and no one's done them. And you say, how did I get here with a family who eats so much and won't take care of their dishes? Maybe it's your heart's beating because you're going into that review at your work. And you know how the boss may feel about you and you just wonder, how did I get here? Or maybe you're a student who is looking at your grade and the grade point and saying, that's not going to be the college number I need. And I know that even if I ace this test, that guess what? It's not going to get me there. I mean, how did I get here, right? I mean, that's the question that can come up in life many times. And I think sometimes we can even sit in this church and say, how did I get here? With a community that's difficult to reach, a community that many of us may not feel like someone we even want to reach. And we may sit here and go, how did we get here? But you know what? The thing that carried me through that day in New York and carries me through this day now is to know that Jesus sent me here. And see, I think that's the thing all of us need to remember, is that Jesus sent us here. Jesus sent us into many of these different situations. Jesus doesn't just put you in situations in a coincidence. Jesus has placed you in situations, in places, as a purpose and for a reason. And knowing that, that's what made things possible. See, I understood that he sent me many places in my life to sacrifice. Sacrifice my energy, my time, my hours, and my finances. That I knew that Jesus had sent me there and he had called me there and there was a purpose on why I was there. See, and that's not different for me than it is for you. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean he has a special thing on me, right? He's called me here as your pastor, yes, but he's called each one of you to many different things in your life as well. And he's called you right here to this place for a specific purpose and reason. And as we're talking about today, it is a call and a sent that you have been sent here to sacrifice. Praise God. Praise God is right, Darcia. Praise God. Praise God. See, we are called to live a life of sacrifice. Sent places for a reason, to sacrifice for a specific reason, and that we have been called here by Jesus. See, this idea of being sent is one that all of us need to truly understand. And today, as we go through our scripture, we're going to see two profiles of two people who have been sent. And we're going to go into our book of Philippians. So if you have your Bibles, what do I say? If you brought one with you, hold it up. Yes, because we want to start bringing our Bibles every week to church, right, so that we can actually dig into them. If you don't have one with you, there's a pew Bible right in front of you. We encourage you to pull that out. If you don't own a Bible, we encourage you to pick that Bible up and take it home with you today, okay? So please pull out your Bibles. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 2 is where we're going to continue today. And here we see a sort of a beautiful continuation of the story that we've been going through in Philippians, where we're going to see a person named Timothy and a person with a different name than you've probably heard before, Epaphroditus. Can you say that? No, don't. Let's not even try. Okay? So this is a teaching that is going to be on this whole idea of a call to a sacrificial life, which is what we've been talking about. That in order to magnify the Lord, we have to decrease so that he may increase, and that we are called and it's going to take sacrifice in our lives. And this all starts with sending. That the sacrificial life works out a way that Jesus is sending you and I into this world for a purpose. That it's a concrete call to live a life that is sacrificial in Jesus. That you and I, hopefully, as we go through this today and through the next few weeks, is that ultimately the idea is that we will be freer to live sacrificially. Does that sound good? Yeah, everybody says yes, right? Until they really realize what it means. Okay? That what a follower of Jesus does is a follower of Jesus actually sacrifices. So the first question I have for you is this. Where has Jesus sent you to sacrifice? Where has Jesus sent you to sacrifice? Where is Jesus sending you, preparing you to sacrifice? And the second key question is this. Are you willing to get gritty? You know what I mean by that? Get gritty. Sort of get into it, dig into it, and do the dirty work, the stuff that needs to be done. Are you really ready to get gritty? Because really, gritty is in some ways the same idea of sacrifice, doing what it takes and sacrificing what needs to be sacrificed to get the work done. That's the question that we have today, those two questions. Where has Jesus sent you to sacrifice, and are you willing to get gritty? Because if you know where he sent you, that's one thing. But if you're not willing to jump in and do the work, that's a whole nother. And so today we're going to talk about what does this truly mean as we go through this. And see, we see two different people, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Two different people that both have been sent. Sent to do some work that God needs them to do. So where has Jesus sent you? If you turn to chapter 2 of Philippians, we'll start there, really at verse 19 is where we're beginning today. And here we read these words. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth. How as a son with a father he has served me in the gospel. We'll start there today because I think there's some key things we need to pull out from this passage. First of all, Paul is writing this letter, and he's writing this letter to a church that, by the way, he started. And he was sent there. He didn't decide himself to go to Philippi. He actually was sent there because he had sort of this dream that woke him up, a vision in the middle of the night that came to him where a man from Macedonia said, this is where you need to go. Come here. Help us. And so he was called and sent to go to this place. And Paul, he was called into all kinds of challenges. But yet there were great joys during those challenging times in Philippi as well. And we can look back because he says, well, I know that I am supposed to be here because Jesus sent me. That's really what he's thinking. Because he sent him because of this crazy man in Macedonia said, you've got to come here, in this vision moment that he had. So the letter actually comes from someone who has been sent. And this really is the genius of this whole letter because it's out of his experience. Now, many of you, I hope you've read enough of Paul, because if you've read enough of Paul, Paul can sometimes bother you. He can sometimes irk you. At least he does me, okay? And he does this because, well, he says things so well and in such a good way, and he's so grounded in the Holy Spirit that I go, God, I wish I could be like him. And he says things that challenges us as well. And he's always thinking about the gospel, isn't he? It's never out of his mind. He is always thinking about the gospel. And what is the gospel message, in case you don't know? Well, it's the unbelievable news that Jesus had been sent by the Father to earth to die. To die so that we could have forgiveness. So that then he could be resurrected, so that we could be saved as well and know that we have eternal life. See, this is Jesus Christ who was used to be sent. Why? Sent for others and to save others. And as we said last week, that is a great model for us when we look at sacrifice in this world. And so what does Paul start with? He starts at verse 19 with these words, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send." He hopes in the Lord Jesus. He starts off by talking about Jesus Christ, the one the gospel is all about, that he's hoping in Jesus because he knows what Jesus has done and everything that Jesus has accomplished with him. And there he's saying, "I hope in Jesus that I can send Timothy to you." And what a great blessing that is. He's saying, "I want to make sure that Timothy comes to you." Why? So that I may have, he says, "so that I too may cheer by the good news of you. So that I can hear and have cheer for you also. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare." Why is it so important that he's sending Timothy to them? Because he knows that he cares for them and loves them. That there are no one like him because he is uniquely created because he has love for them. And he goes on and says, what? "But you know Timothy's proven worth. How as a son with a father he has served me with me in what? The gospel." That he too is grounded in that message like Paul of understanding that the message of Jesus Christ is what needs to be proclaimed to the people that he has been sent to love. Isn't that a great message? Philippians chapter 2 goes on and it says this, "I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill." I love how this talks twice about sending, right? Again, being sent for a purpose. And here we hear Timothy is being sent, yes, but also Epaphroditus is being sent. And he is a brother, a fellow worker, but what does he say he is as well? A fellow soldier. Interesting phrase, right? Someone who is fighting for the gospel. And he is sending him as well, but he tells us that Epaphroditus has been sick. And actually, he goes on and says this, "Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me." This man was sent with a purpose, and he almost died. Almost died. And at this point, he's still continuing. It's not ending there. He's going to do more work. And by the way, when he was sent to Paul, he was going through the cities and villages, and that was not an easy trek. It's not like today where you just call an Uber and catch it and go, right? Okay? He was going through lots of risk. Anytime you traveled during this time, it was risky. And he was probably being contagious with diseases coming at him and everything else. That's probably why he was so sick. And so anytime he was sent, it was sent knowing that there was risk involved in doing this. And he almost died once. And now he's continuing to go forward. But the interesting word that is used four times in this passage is the idea of being sent or send. It's used four times. And anytime a word is repeated in Scripture, guess what? You should probably pay attention to it. Okay? And so here we're going to pay attention and pull this out and understand what it truly means, that sent is really important. Because being sent is a key way that we follow Jesus. Because he sends us out as his representatives. As a matter of fact, the very first word that came out of Jesus' mouth when he was resurrected was the word send. You can see this in John chapter 20 where he says this, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you," he says to his disciples. I am sending you. And then in Timothy, here with Timothy being sent, we hear also the same word. I hope in the Lord to send Timothy. And I find it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. It's the same word that is being used and the same word that Jesus uttered when he came back in the resurrection. I am sending you. So where is God sending you? See, sent or sending is a great gift. It's a form of grace, I would say, as well. I mean, if you are married, if you're a close friend, you usually don't deepen a relationship by giving yourself a gift, do you? I mean, my wife and I have this habit where we've been married so many years now, when it's our anniversary, you know, we say, well, you want that, go ahead and get that for yourself. And, you know, I'll get that for myself. We don't really give each other a gift anymore, right? But that's not really a great, great process. I'm not advocating that by any way, okay? But I'm just saying that it's the reality of what happens here. And that doesn't exactly deepen a relationship, does it? Now, I don't ask you to raise your hand and say you're in the same boat, okay? Because I know some of you are, okay? But the question is, you can get to the point as a married couple where you ask the question, how did I get here? How did I get to this place that this is the case? That we forget the idea of what a gift truly is. That being sent is a gift from Jesus. It's a form of grace given to us. And being sent is not something we decide on. It's something that Jesus decides on for us. It is a gift that he has given us. And it involves sacrifice, yes. I mean, this is why this idea of gift is so important, though. And why we have to understand sacrifice in the right context as well. Because at the heart of sacrifice is also sometimes a temptation that can come in. I mean, to think that in your life or your sacrificial life that you're a teacher or a mom or a dad, or maybe you're trying to live a celibate life, whatever it might be, to think that your sacrifice is so great that you are winning with God, we can be tempted to go there. That you're winning with God, that your sacrifice, and you will continue to sacrifice as long as you feel like you're winning with God. That you're actually impressing God, right? That my sacrifice turns into a work where I'm trying to earn righteousness with God. God, I'm willing to sacrifice as long as I know I'm in good place with you. See, we don't sacrifice to win God. We sacrifice to be on the journey with God and Jesus. For he is the one who is the sending God who sends us. And we don't sacrifice to win with God. I mean, if we get there, you can easily slip into that works righteousness that we just mentioned. You're trying to earn a place with God through the sacrifice that you're living in your life. And he knows us better than that. He knows us that he knows that some of us are going to be driven by this, and some of us are going to be selfish to try to recognize that our sacrifice is only done because we want more from God. But see, God calls us to sacrifice because of what he has done for us. It's a response of love. See, you've been sent in a sacrifice to live with Jesus. And the gift that you're given when you go into a sent world and sacrifice is you are given Jesus himself. That Jesus is the gift that is given. And this gift of living a sacrificial life, it's Jesus. It's living the life that he lived. It starts with Jesus, and it ends with Jesus. It's a gift of Jesus that is given to you. It's not some accolade. It's actually joining Jesus and taking up your cross and following him. Paul says in the text that we're reading here today as well, to live is Christ, and to die or to sacrifice is gain. I mean, that's what Paul is thinking about here. That's how we live lives freely to sacrifice. Where Jesus has sent you to live a sacrificial life, yes. And the question is, where is he sending you to live that? See, I think it's pretty clear. That if he's not clear with you right now, that as we've talked about magnifying the Lord, that maybe the Lord will clarify in your life where he is sending you to sacrifice. Maybe it's in your work. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's right here at church and in this community as we live the love of Jesus. And as we go through this today, as you go through your devotions, as you go through your prayer, and at the end of the service, we'll have some time for you to sit in the Lord as well, that maybe God will clarify to you where you are being sent and where he's asking you to sacrifice. See, he's not calling us to live in the status quo. He's calling us to live a life of peace, yes. One being settled in the Lord, yes. But also in a life of one being sent. And yes, the Lord saves us. But he also continues to send us. My good friend Mike Perkinson actually said this, that if all the Lord wanted to do was save you, then he would have taken you to heaven immediately when you were saved. Amen. That the reason that you are still here is because he still has a purpose for you in this world. But see, here's the challenge that all of us face. The challenge that all of us face when we actually are challenged to live a life of being sent to sacrifice is that we could lose our love. We could lose our love. We can lose our love for those we've been called to serve. Now, you may not understand what I'm talking about here, but I think it's pretty simple for us. We could lose our love, or maybe it's, if that's too strong, we could lose our like. Okay? I'm not saying that you don't love your kids anymore, but right now you may not like them very much. Right? Maybe you're a teacher and you don't like your students very much right now. See, we can lose our love. We can lose our like. I mean, maybe you're sitting here in this church and you've seen this community change and you just don't like this community as much anymore. And we've lost our love for this community. See, the great thing is, though, God doesn't leave us there. That there's this ever-renewing call through Jesus, through receiving his sacraments, through reading his word, where he renews in us this love again for those that we're sent to, even those that we may have lost some love or some like for. It is through his singing here in church and us coming together as a family that that love is built back up in us through the Spirit working in us, that we are then understand our calling once again, that it's rejuvenated in us to go out and actually understand that we do love this community. We do love those students again, that yes, we love our children even though they get under our skin sometimes. And yes, I still love my husband or wife even though this marriage is difficult. See, that's what we mean by living the love of Jesus. That we go forth living the love of Jesus each and every day with a renewed spirit in us because the Spirit every day gives us new grace and love and mercy so that we can go and love those all around us. And I heard something yesterday that was great, where a speaker actually said, don't push the hard people out of your life. It's the hard people that can actually sharpen us and make us better. And so no matter how hard it can be, we are called to renew that love and allow the Spirit to work in us so that the renewed love is flowing out of us to everyone around us. Instead, also Augustine of Hippo said it this way, the greater one's love is, the easier the work. The greater one's love is, the greater your capacity to live in Jesus who sent you to begin with, the easier the work. See, if we don't love, then the work is hard. But if we allow the love of Jesus to fill us and fill us to overflowing, then the work that God calls us to do and the sacrifice he calls us to make, that is easy at that point, and it is not hard at all. And so we remember the work of Jesus, who came and sacrificed everything for us, taking the form of a man, living the perfect life we can't live, showing what true love is all about as he loved and showed grace to everyone around him. And he gave everything on the cross so that we could be forgiven. He rose again so that we could have new life, so that that changes everything for us, so that we don't have to worry about the things of this world because we know that we're secure in the life after. And so to him we give the glory, but to him we also see the model. And see, we know there's risk in this. I mean, we see that as well as we're told to receive Epaphroditus. Why? Because we receive him in the Lord with joy and honor, for he almost died for the work of Christ. See, we know throughout this world there are Christians that are dying for the work of the gospel. That's the persecuted church. And we may think the things we go through in this world are persecution, but in really reality, it's not. But the work is hard. The work is risky, but it is the Spirit of God that lives in us, and we have to realize that God is going before us. And so in reality, living the love of Jesus, it's about pouring our lives out in sacrifice for others. It's about allowing the Spirit to work in us so that we truly understand what loving others is all about. And we go out pouring that out because the Spirit leads us to do so. So the question again is, what are you willing to sacrifice for the gospel? Where is God sending you, and are you willing to get gritty? What is it that we at Our Saviors are willing to do for the gospel? We know this only happens through the work of the Spirit. And today I pray that the Spirit will work greatly in us so that we can truly understand that God has sent us here for this community at this time to spread his word throughout all of this community, using each one of us to proclaim the greatness of God so that he is magnified in this community, because he is the one and only. You and I know that that needs to happen more and more, right? And it's only going to happen if we are willing to sacrifice. And we pray that the Spirit would allow us to do so. So today we magnify the Lord. Magnify him so it is his name that goes forth and not ours. So that he is the one that is glorified and that everything that we do points to him and not to us. And I pray that that work would begin today, continue tomorrow, and last for all eternity. It is to his name and to his glory. Amen. Join me in prayer, please. Well, dear Lord, we just thank you for this time. And Lord, we know that this sacrificial message can be hard for us to hear. But Lord, we know that this is something you give to us only because you have done it first. And that, Lord, we know we can't do any of this without you working in us through your Spirit. So, Lord, today we ask that your Spirit would fill us with love, Lord, for all people. That your Spirit would fill us for love for this community. That your Spirit would fill us with love towards our brothers and sisters that are sitting right here today. And that, Lord, you would never let us deplete that love completely. That, Lord, you would allow us to be filled up more and more each day with your love that is only possible through Jesus Christ. Transform our hearts, transform our minds, Lord, to truly share your love and grace each and every day and be willing to sacrifice for this message. It is in Jesus' name and to his glory we pray. Amen.